All right, Esther chapter 1. We're going to finish the chapter here. We made a couple visits, and then, one particular, and then as we were going to another visit, we swung by Margaret and John's house and ended up over there for a while. But pray for them. I think Margaret wants to be over here, and anyway, just pray for them. Esther chapter 1, starting at verse 13. So if you remember up to this point, so you got Ahasuerus, he throws a big party and asks the queen or tells the queen to come and attend the party. Vashti says, no, I'm not coming. And so now the king has got to do something about that. And this is the counsel he gets from a guy named Mimikin. And so we're going to talk about Mimikin's wise counsel tonight. Look in verse 13. The Bible says, then the king said to the wise men which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshina, Shether, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Mersena, and Mimikin, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king, Ahasuerus, by the chamberlains? And Mimikin answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes. When it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus. And let the king give a royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Mimikin. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. So, what you got is a situation where the queen, very visible person, decides that the king's word is no good, and so she just open rebellion, says, now I'm not going to do what the king says, and that puts the king in a position of having to either do something about this or let this problem spread. And Mimikin understands several things. He's a wise counselor, and so he understands things from several different angles. He's circumspect in that. He understands all the different angles that are going to come back and bite the king, so to speak. So he addresses all those with his counsel. And so we're going to look at Mimikin's wise counsel tonight, but let's pray first, and then we will preach on that wise counsel. Father, I thank you for, first of all, Lord, for the folks that got saved today, Lord, that Ralph and Alan visited with, and there are others, Father, that took Bibles and heard a testimony and either got tracts or, I thank you for the folks that came out. They are encouragement and, Lord, a blessing and a help in the ministry here. And Father, I pray that you'd continue to raise up folks that would be willing-hearted to do that work. Father, I pray that those that receive tracts and Bibles would read them, and Lord, for the kids that are the girls that that prayed. I know they're young ladies, and Father, that they would grow, and Lord, we'd make some follow-ups, and get a chance to see them grow up in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you again for everybody that's here. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit to say what you once said. And Lord, that we would learn something from this. We'd learn, get some instruction, get some help here. And Father, that you'd feed your flock tonight. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Mimikin has... He's one of these seven counselors, and there's so many types in all this. This, as a side note here, there's so much you could do as far as prophecy and typology, and people will make a big deal that God doesn't show up in the book of Esther, and Ahasuerus is a type of God in this book, and so that's where God shows up as in type in this book. And these seven counselors are really a type of the seven spirits of God that you read about in Isaiah that are before the king's face there. And so they stand directly before him and give him face-to-face counsel. And he's furthermore, you see about his leadership, he's a guy that surrounds himself with wise people. And sometimes you get guys that are dictatorial in their leadership, and so they surround themselves with yes men and people who are afraid of them and people who are will just, you know, kind of give them what they want to hear. And King Ahasuerus isn't quite that guy. He surrounds himself with people who understand what's going on, and people are going to help him in his position as a king. And so you see some further evidence of his good leadership. And he presented with this problem that we've talked about here. Vashti openly rebels against the king's commandment. And you think about, you know, just because you're doing the right thing doesn't necessarily, there's not going to be problems. You've got to deal with problems, but good leadership deals with problems the right way. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to have to deal with it and deal with it the right way. And like I said, Mimikin is a wise counselor in that he sees things from all different angles. And that's what you got to see when you're in a position like that. Sometimes the nuts and bolts of things are important, sometimes the details, but you, in that position, you can't get really bogged down in details. You got to see the big picture of what's going on. And so Mimikin and these other counselors and King Ahasuerus, they got to see the things that are going to come back and bite the king. Kind of things that he can't see. And in the Bible, that's called circumspect, where you look all around and see every angle that this thing's going to affect. It's the big picture, so to speak. And just as another little side note, you know, a lot of folks that get caught up in complaining about leadership, because I imagine when King Ahasuerus puts this thing out, you get people in the kingdom saying, why is this guy so harsh? Why is he so mean? Why does he sound like he's so ruthless? And why is he telling us this, what to do? And the problem is they don't see things from his perspective. They haven't seen what's going on. And that's what happens. You get complaints from folks that don't see the big picture. And that's just another little side note there. But dealing with Mimikin's wise counsel, there's four things that really he addresses and that the Bible says he addresses as it goes through his counsel here. The first thing it says about Mimikin is in verse 13. He's a guy that understood the times. Verse 13. Then the king said to the wise men which knew the times. Skip down to verse 15. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law, because she had not performed the commandment of the king? All right, so a guy that understands the times, it's good. I mean, it's good to know, and there's something to be said to know where you are and when you are. And that's something that's fascinated me about the Bible for a long time, is this book is applicable in any time and anywhere. I mean, we've said it before, but you take this book and you take the scriptures, and it's applicable in a nursing home in America, and it's applicable in an orphanage in China. I mean, this thing is applicable, and it's fascinating that it's like that. But that's the Holy Spirit of God, and that's godliness. It is it is profitable in all things. And so Mimikin understands the times. He understands where they are. He understands when they are. And he understands what ought to be done in the situation. You had some more guys back in 1 Chronicles. The Bible talks about the tribe of Issachar and the men of Issachar. They understood the times. They knew where they were. And they knew what Israel ought to do. And so that's kind of the definition of understanding the times. Solomon mentions in Ecclesiastes, there are seasons and times. And there, in every season, there is a different purpose accomplished in each season. Like you got one season where a harvest is accomplished. You get another season where planting is accomplished. You get another season, he said, there's a time to die, a time to live, a time to be born. All that stuff, and all those things are right in their time, but when they're out of sequence, when they're out of time, it's not good. But when they're in their season, it's good. And so there are different times, and you got to understand what time you're in, and Mimikin understands the timing. He understands where they are. He understands when they are. And so another thing that goes along with that that's interesting in the Bible about times and seasons and things like that, you've got three things in your Bible that have no season. Three things in your Bible that have no season, and you can just make a note of it. Preaching has no season. He says, be instant in season, out of season. Preach the word, instant in season, out of season. There's no timing on it. Prayer has no season. Pray without ceasing. There's no particular time where it's better or worse to pray. Prayer has no season. And then your personal fellowship with Jesus Christ is not something that has a season. That's good on a regular daily basis. But aside from those three things, there are times and seasons. And so Mimikin understands that. He understands the times. He understands the events, and he understands what needs to happen. That is, like I said, in the Bible called circumspect, where he understands all the angles and things like that. Another thing about Mimikin is this. He understood influences. So when someone who is a public figure like the queen decides to openly rebel against the king, that has an influence on people. And you've seen some of the influence in our culture where you get public figures who do public things, and that thing just kind of has a ripple effect through the culture. It has a ripple effect through the nation. And so when Queen Vashti does this, like Mimikin says over there in, verse 16. Look in verse 16. Mimikin answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. So what she's done is broken down a wall and set taken a step in the wrong direction, but really, I guess you could say, is kind of led in open rebellion. And what that does is it influences the people in open rebellion. I mean, we are in general, rebellious people. I mean, it is in our nature to be rebels. And so when someone who is in that position does that, and when they say no to the king, it emboldens other people. And like Solomon said over there in Ecclesiastes, he says, look, people will rebel and people will do wrong because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Because they don't immediately get their heads chopped off. People say, hey, I can do that. That guy did it. I can do it. They got away with it, so I can get away with it. And so you're constantly pushing the line and pushing the line, and it's much easier to influence people for rebellion than it is to influence them for doing something good. And so when you start breaking down the walls, folks just follow suit, and that's what's going to happen here. And so Mimikin understands that. He understands where they are, when they are, and he understands influence. The New Testament version of this is in Romans chapter 14, and it says this. In fact, I tell you what, let's just look at it. Look in verse 7. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. In Romans chapter 14, verse 7, mimicking it is giving counsel that is really New Testament stuff you find in the New Testament that's wise counsel. All right, Romans chapter 14, verse 7, this is regarding influence. It says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Meaning, you're not an island. You don't, the decisions you make have a ripple effect on people. And I've heard somebody say, you're not, if I can remember how they said it, it's like you're not watched as much as you think you are, and at the same time, you're watched more than you think you are. I mean, we worry about things that probably people don't really care about. And then we don't worry about things that people are taking note of. And we worry about these things that people really probably don't care about. And then on the other hand, we neglect things that kids are watching. And we neglect things that people are really taking note of and watching in our lives. And so in one sense, we're not watched as much as we think we are. And in another sense, we're watched a lot more than we think we are. And the New Testament verse that fits that or that tells you about that is this: no man, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. So Mimikin understands influences, and particularly very visible influences. When somebody in that position does what they do, that thing is visible to a massive amount of people, and it's going to influence in the wrong way. I mentioned it, and you guys understand it. A corrupting influence is much easier to do than to accomplish than a good influence. You know, it's always easier to burn the thing down than it is to build it. It's always easier to destroy the building than it is to build the building. It's always easier to tear down what someone else is trying to build up than it is to build something up yourself. And that's the idea. Corrupting something is not difficult to do. Starting a fire and burning the thing down isn't difficult to do. What's difficult is to put your hands to work and try to build something. And so when Vashti starts to tear down the king's authority and tear down the kingdom, which it will eventually do, and I don't even think she has all this in mind, but it's just a consequence of her decision. Mimikin understands influences. And he understands that Vashti's decision is going to have unintended consequences if the king doesn't deal with it. Go back to Esther and see what he says. Over there in verse 18, chapter 1, verse 18. He says, "Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath." So this thing will ripple through the kingdom, and what will happen is contempt and wrath. There will be people at each other's throats because of this, and I don't think Vashti thinks that this is her plan. She's just being rebellious. And it's typical of rebellious people. They're just going to do things for themselves, and they don't understand the consequences of all that. They're just going to do it for themselves. But Mimikin understands there are going to be consequences to this that are rippling through the empire there. A couple other things here about influence. Vashti's a very visible influence, so she's going to have more influence on people than maybe some other people. And since people's choices have got to be made, they're going to watch her and make choices based on her. So Mimikin understands that. Then he understands something else. Not only does he understand the times, not only does he understand influences of people and how that, you know, the big word is sociologically affects people. It's just corruption, you know. It's just corrupting sins, corrupting sin, its influence. But he also understands the nature of rebels. And that's what Vashti is. She is a rebel. Look in verse 19. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and that the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. Now, I think Memucan is giving Ahasuerus some counsel that's tough on certain leadership. This is stuff that I have a hard time with. And that is when you have to kind of make a break. You know, nobody wants to just make a break, but sometimes you have to just make a break. And so what he's saying is, I remember a pastor and his assistant pastor, and he was dealing with a problem, and the problem kept coming up, and he was sitting down with the assistant pastor, and the assistant pastor is going to give him counsel, and he says, man, you're just going to have to cut that thing off. The problem is you keep dealing with the same thing, and you keep allowing this thing to come back. You're just going to have to cut it off. It's not going away. It's not going to resolve itself, and you keep giving it opportunity to happen over and over again. And while you're giving it opportunity, it's affecting more and more people. At some point, you just got to put your foot down and say, done. We're done here. And so that's what Ahasuerus says. What she's done, I mean, that's what Memucan says. What she's done is not something that is fixable. Or it's not something that you can just show grace to and say, well, you know, that kind of stuff happens. No. You're the king. If your word is no good, then nobody cares about you as being king. Nobody's going to listen to you as the king. At some point, this rebellion and the nature of rebels is they're not going to get right here. Public rebellion has to be rebuked publicly. And notice how he puts it here at the end of verse 19. He says that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. What's he saying? He's saying she's no good. This is unpardonable. You cannot just cover this over and say, well, stuff like this happens. No, it doesn't happen. It can't happen. Memucan understands influences, he understands the times, he understands the nature of rebels. And that's what she is. She's a rebel. And then, lastly, is this. He understands the home. Look in verse 20. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. The saying pleased the king, and the princes and the kings did according to the word of Memucan, for he sent letters unto all the king's provinces, and to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, and so on and so forth. The point is he understands the home, and basically what he says is almost word for word what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians. There's an order, there's a structure that God set up. And he may not mention God in it, but he mentions the structure of the home. And he says, when this thing breaks down, if it breaks down at this level, what you'll see happen in your empire is the homes will start breaking up. That's what he says in up there in verse 17. If you let this thing go, you'll see homes being broken up. People will start hating each other, husbands and wives, and what the wives will say is, if that king can't keep his house in order, why should I follow this bum that I'm married to? And so he says he understands the home here. So he understands several different aspects. Memucan really almost quotes what Paul says in 1 Corinthians and in Ephesians. He understands there's a blueprint to the home that God set up. He understands that the order, and we've gone over all this stuff in 1 Corinthians, we've gone over it in Genesis, but He understands the blueprint, the birth, the biology, the whole thing. He understands, he may not even have had Joshua in mind, but Joshua, he says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. He understands there's leadership there. And the point is, if the queen is allowed to do this, it will bust up all the homes and bust up the order. And now here we are. You know, it's amazing. When you start breaking down the order of what God set up, it's amazing how quickly the dominoes just fall. You know, you never thought, you couldn't see how quickly this stuff would go down. But after the court, I think it was, 2015? When the court says it's okay for sodomites to marry each other. And then now you're dealing with bathrooms and you're dealing with people being sued and the states having to fund all this stuff and having to accept all this. And I mean, it's just an avalanche of garbage that you have to accept now. And it happened fast. I mean, once the floodgates open, this thing just comes in. And if you don't stop it, if you don't put an end to it, then it's going to be more fires to put out in the future. It's going to be harder to contain it in the future. So what Mimikin's saying is you need to nip this thing in the bud. Don't let this thing get out of hand. Because if it gets out of hand, it'll be more than you can contain. So nip it in the bud. Make a decree. Send it out. Remind the husbands to be the leaders and head up their home. And don't let Vashti get away with what she's done. All right? So he understands four things. And we've covered those four things. And what's interesting about all this, aside from these four things that Mimikin understands, this is going to be the impetus. And this is going to be the reason that Esther ever takes power like she does. Here is Queen Vashti, a rebel, set in comparison to Esther, as we'll see, humble. And you've got arrogance and pride being dealt with. And you've got humility serving a good purpose. And these things are going to be set in contrast as you go through the book of Esther. But you'll see several things, and this is one of the many things that so-called really falls in place for Esther to be put in the position she's in, or will be in, to make the decision she makes, and to save the people that she saves. And so this little piece of advice to curtail the rebelliousness of the queen will serve as the opportunity for Esther to rise to the throne. And it's the first in really a series of providential events that leads to the salvation of God's people. And it has to do with the queen being rebellious and then being dealt with. And so you see in these few verses, Mimikin has some wise counsel that serves as the first in a set of events that will lead to Esther's being put on the throne here. Four things in these few verses, just to remember. Mimikin's wise counsel. He understood the times. He understood influences. He understood the nature of rebels. And he understood the home. And in those four things, he understood all of the problems that would arise if Ahasuerus doesn't address this problem. And so he kind of, as a wise counselor, sees what's lurking in the shadows in different areas and says, look, this is going to come out and bite you, this is going to come out and bite you, this is going to come out and bite you, and this is going to come out and bite you, and you need to address each of these things, and here's how you do it. And so when he, the Bible says he knew the times. What that means is he knew exactly what to do. So he is a wise counselor. I know some folks, I've listened to some sermons and other guys preach on this. It's kind of interesting, I guess, to put it, I guess, lightly. But what they see in these things and not understanding that what Vashti's done has a an effect on a lot of people, and it's not a good thing. She's not standing up for women's rights or, you know, being some great role model, which I've heard some people say, well, she's a great role model, people need to follow her, the king overreacts and all that. No, no, no. What Vashti did is wrong. And what Ahasuerus had to do was the right thing to do, and that's why you get Esther instead of Vashti. And that's why you get Esther in the place of Vashti. Because arrogance and pride is eventually dealt with by God. And humility is always the right attitude towards the Lord. Always. So mimicking wise counsel, we've gone over it, you understand it. Four things in these last few verses of chapter 1 that really set the stage for what's about to happen in the book of Esther. And so I hope that is helpful to you to see those things. Mimicking's counsel is indeed wise counsel. Father, I thank you so much for your words.